We're back to the Neil Haley Show, and I love always interviewing authors because I get to learn so many different things. And in my 7,000 plus interviews I've done in my career in over 12 years, I constantly learn things. So I'm excited to welcome the program author Marissa Jones of The Lotus Tattoo. How are you, Marissa? And thanks for stopping by.
Hi, Neil. I'm doing great. It's so exciting to be here. Thank you for having me on your show.
I'm excited to talk with you. And I think that, you know, when you talk about writing a book and why you wrote a book, it's always an interesting answer because a lot of times it's people finally say, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to write something to tell the story, or others decide to write the book because they have a certain product or service. It just all depends. Tell us the story why you wrote the book.
So actually, I had started writing a couple of books in the past, and they just never got anywhere because my passion really wasn't in it. My first book actually was a book on how to build computers back in the 80s. That's how far back it goes. You know, I was at my nutritionist's office and she wanted me to tell a story about how I had converted my mom's Sicilian recipes to grain-free versions because of my health issues. And she says, you have a great story about your food. You need to tell the class. And I went home that night and I thought, I have an even better story to tell. And it was time. And so I started writing the book and I couldn't stop. It was just one of those things where I woke up every night in the middle of the night, just writing notes and writing and writing and writing. And it just grew. And what was interesting was in the past, when I started writing books, I would tell people I was writing a book and no one was really interested. So I lost interest. But this time I was telling people about I was writing my memoir and I was telling them about the deep, dark secrets I was writing about, like all the skeletons in my closet were coming out in this book. And I had every person come to me and share private things about their lives that no one ever knew. Things that they were in Alcoholics Anonymous, or things that, you know, no one at work knew, or things that they were being abused at home by a spouse, or things on how they felt guilty about how they were raising their kids, or they weren't the best mom, or they were drinking. And there were so many different stories that I heard. And the fact that they would tell me that some of them were just acquaintances, they weren't even close friends or family, telling me their most private, darkest skeletons, I thought there is something here that if they're telling me this, that I need to tell my story to give people permission to start telling theirs, because that's where healing comes from. And so I wrote the book and it's been fantastic ever since what's come from it.
You know, and without giving it away, because you want to talk about it, you can give some portions, but this is so powerful because to share your memoir in a way for people to see just how heartbreaking things that were part of your life, to be putting that on paper is a hard thing. And so you don't want to give it away, but you want to kind of give people an understanding of some of the challenges you've gone through in your life.
Absolutely. So, you know, I want to balance that with, I was very successful in life, right? I have a 30-year career in IT. I was running multi-million dollar global projects, you know, for large Fortune 100 companies. And I was very successful in life. I had the husband, I had the big house, I had the, you know, the kids, and everything looked great on the outside. But I had suffered with depression for most of my life. I'm first generation American. My parents are Sicilian immigrants, born and raised in New York. And my dad was an abusive alcoholic. And that created in me an anger that I carried with most of my life. And so I spent most of my life being a bully as a kid, as an adult, to my own kids. I was a bully. I was also, I was always trying to escape. So drugs and alcohol was a big part of my life on and off. And there were so many things that I carried with me that I created decisions in my life based on that. And there were a lot of times with depression and suicidal ideation that I carried. And so with that, you know, I just accepted it. This is who I am and this is who I have to continue to be. And so, again, I was balancing that with a career that I was ashamed to talk about my past. Like no one knew all the hardships I had because of all this shame. No one knew that I was bullying my kids at home because I couldn't tell anyone. They were going to take my kids away. Right. And so I carried all the shame. And then in 2009, I divorced my husband because he was having an affair. I was so focused on work, I wasn't didn't really care about my home life. And I had what I call my mental breakdown. It was like all this childhood stuff just kind of, it just came to the surface. And I found myself at 45 years old, sleeping under the covers in a fetal position, severe PTSD. I was drinking two bottles of wine at night. Luckily, my mom was living with me and she helped me raise my young kids because I was emotionally detached. And I knew I had to fix myself and I had no idea what to do. So I made a promise to myself that I was going to heal. And I started a self-help journey. And here I am now helping others doing the same. So it's been a great ride for
Well,
sure.
definitely does, and so you're going to hear a lot about specifically enough in your memoir. You're in the bed living the best life possible, but you aren't. You're broken
Right.
inside. The relationship ended. Then the distraught and pain. A lot of people, when they go through breakups, regardless of the situation, their lives change in so many ways, and they have to understand. And in a lot of ways, it took you time to cope to understand that I just didn't understand myself. And it goes back to myself not, pointing fingers at other people when we all have that anger, we all that say that it was somebody else's fault. Well, you got to look back at your childhood, you got to look at back at your decisions you've made, and you got to look back at all that. And so that's what your book's trying to tell people, right?
Right. And my ex-husband, he had gotten addicted to prescription drugs and was in a program afterwards and he had to make amends. And he called me and he said something that stuck with me. And he said, when you get angry, he said, you turn into that 5-year-old little girl who's trying to defend herself from her father. And that was a wake-up call to me. And that's what I started searching. Like, what am I still carrying from that, right? What have I done in my life that was because of what happened to me? And so that was really the basis for how I moved forward with my company and how I decided I wanted to help others. So now I've created a program where I help others go back to their childhood. And they picture the psychiatrist going, okay, lay on the couch and tell me about your mom and dad. But the reality is, 70% of adults have some sort of trauma that they
That's
carry with
from childhood.
themselves. And some of it could be severe, it could be sexual abuse, it could be physical abuse, some of it could be they've witnessed a horrific event in their life, like a murder or somebody in their family dying. But it could be abandonment. It could be a narcissistic parent. I mean, there's so many things that we carry with us. Some are really good and some are not so.
And children can't handle seeing adult things happen. The more you keep them away from adult things, the better. And to understand, especially if there's a bad relationship in the home or something, the adult needs to not lay the burden to the children on what's happening. And when they
Absolutely.
do, it will be a deep cause in what they decide to do in life.
Absolutely.
It could be one unhappy parent that's through de dealing with depression. It could be a breakup. It could be, as you talk about, as severe as abuse or loss, but you really have to look back at that person. So what you do when you work with your clients is basically you really find out what are their favorite memories as a child, probably looking at specifically enough any pain they remember, and then look at the decisions they made, because they might not know till an adult why, right? We got bullied in school, right? All of us got bullied in school. It doesn't matter who we are. Everyone at one point was bullied. They dealt, it could be something involving academics in school. You just never reached a certain potential. You couldn't learn well, or getting hooked in specific alcohol at a younger age, or the wrong crowd. That stems to who you are as an adult. That's really interesting that you bring that up, because it's so true. Way we are shaped in life, we can transform ourselves. There's still going to be so many cobwebs in our closet need to be cleaned out.
Right. And so what I do is I work with, so most of my clients are very successful adults who have woken up one day and it's kind of like that David Byrne song where they're like, I have a beautiful house and a beautiful wife, and you know, how did I get here? And they wake up and they don't know who they are. They've lost their identity. And sometimes it takes a major life impact for them to identify, you know, that they're really depressed or have anxiety or they don't know who they are. But sometimes it's minor. And they just start questioning, you know, I feel like I'm an imposter, I'm unhappy, you know, I don't know where I'm going in life. And so what I do is I really help them to identify, you know, what life impacts have you had that you're still carrying? And which of those do you want to let go? And I help them work through the process of, you know, what triggers are based on the events that have happened to them? What decisions have they made? What values come out of it? Because as a child, we grow up and we have this value system that's imprinted on us, but we don't know how to identify what those values are. So I help them to identify what their values are, because you'd be surprised, Neil, how many times I'll ask a client, you know, what's your belief in this, right? What's your value in family? What's your value in marriage? And they say, we this. And they're talking about their spouse or their partner or their kids. And it's like, no, what's your value? And then they say, I don't know, because their values are, they've just immersed themselves into their environment. They don't really know who they are. They've lost themselves. So I help them get back to that. And you know, if you think about what a value is, right? If I ask you, Neil, to go to your neighbor's house and go steal something, would you do it?
No.
Right. Because, and you don't know how to put a value to that. You just know innately that's the answer.
You know what the results, but there's other things that are not value.
That are not value, right.
That you don't have, where you don't know what the result's going to be of that thing doing that. So for example, making a huge mistake in some relationship or doing something so rash or financially too much credit card debt or gaining so much weight, you don't know the repercussions till you learn that lesson. And that's where wisdom comes. But a lot of times people haven't gotten to that point.
Right.
And we go through the enjoyment of doing that, eating a lot of food, right? Or drinking a lot, or over or gambling a lot, or not growing up a lot. But the result at the end has you show that, but sometimes you don't figure that out till it's too late.
Right. And what it does is it creates guilt, regret, yep, and shame. And when you make a decision based on your values, you have no guilt, regret, or shame, right? If you make a decision not to steal from your neighbor, there's no guilt, regret, or shame, because right, that's who you are. But we don't know what our values are. So when we get back to our values, going forward, every single decision you make supports you 100%. So you never make a bad decision, and everything you do supports your well-being, your mental health, the decisions you make, and you move forward very differently than when you move forward making decisions based on not knowing who you really are inside.
You feel yourself. Okay.
Yes.
So you think of yourself first, which we're not taught to think about. We're taught about everybody else. We're not focusing on ourselves. It has to do with a little bit of the Judeo-Christian values, but also has to do a lot with the moral code that has been brought up in our world. And the fact is that if we go ahead and not think about ourselves and think about others and constantly just go 100 miles an hour and not look at ourselves and how we feel, we're going to hit this wall and we're going to break.
Right. Over and over and over. That's one of the things I hear from my clients the most is I get into the cycle where I'm really confident and everything's going right, great. And then I crash because, you know, I don't know where I'm going and I'm lost. And it's that repeating cycle. And until you break that cycle, it's going to continue to happen. And it'll continue to happen to your children because you're teaching them your behaviors and actions based on your own trauma.
And so that's great. So where can people pick up the book? Where's the best place?
You can go to Amazon. If you look up the Lotus Tattoo Memoir, my book will automatically come up. You can go to my website. It's myeverydaybeing.com. Myeverydaybeing.com. I have coaching. I have a 6-month mindset warrior, The Art of Intentional Thinking. It's a 6-month intensive boot camp to help rid of all of the issues and traumas that you're carrying and help you move forward and identify who you are. And I have a lot of online courses as well that you can take as well.
You have a tremendous mission. Keep helping people for sure. I appreciate you coming by.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks.
You're welcome. You're watching and listening to the Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.